committing ourselves to the work of God at this place for the next 12 months. And the folks that will be coming up today have been talked to. They've been asked way back 3 months ago, would they consider to be a part of the workers? And of course, all of them have consented to do that. And earlier this morning, I was thinking about the altar and how that in Genesis 22, God said, I want you to take your son, your only son, Isaac, and I want you to offer him. And of course, Abraham was willing to do that. Isaac was a living sacrifice. And I think that some ways he is typical of us. Now somebody says, now preacher, I'm thinking that Isaac is typical of Christ. Well, I believe that the ram that was caught in the thicket is typical of Christ. Now, Isaac was laying there and he said, where's the fire? Where's the sacrifice? And his dad said, God will provide a sacrifice. So this morning I kind of was thinking about the altar early and how that Romans tells us that we are to give ourselves a living sacrifice. And today, as these folks will walk up here, they will be walking across what we call our altar. They are a living sacrifice of what God has put in their heart to be a part of in 2018. And so I want to have all of you that are a worker, and Greg, this is what I want you to do as well. So you go ahead and kind of move him around. I want all of our workers this coming year, if you are a deacon, if you're a trustee, if you're a Sunday school teacher, if you are an Awana worker, if you're a children's church worker, and by the way, a lot of those are going to be downstairs because the Munchkins are downstairs, all right? So they won't get to be publicly a part of this, even though they've committed. But if you hold any office, an usher, we want the ushers to come. We want the clerks to come. We want anybody that holds any type of office, I want you to come for a dedication prayer up here on this platform, and I want you to come right now. Right now. Okay, there we go. Okay. Okay. All right. Just come right on up. And we're going to have a prayer of dedication here in just a moment. Amen. Folks that you see coming down these aisles and standing behind me, they are the nuts and bolts of this ministry. There is no way that me as a pastor or even the staff can do everything at this church. There are too many ministries, it is too vast for just a handful of people to do. And what God has done is God has taken these people, and when they trusted the Lord, the sweet Spirit of God gave them gifts, just like He's given many of you gifts. Well, when you got saved and you received those gifts, God expects you to use those gifts. If you can teach, you ought to try to teach. If you can sing, you ought to try to sing. You ought to use those gifts that God has given to you and let God take you to places in your spiritual walk that you've never been to before. And so these people behind me represent the nuts and bolts of what's going on at this place. And I want you to bear them up before the Lord. I want you to make sure that you pray for them. That you make sure that you don't want the devil to get into your life or their life. And I hope that when you see these people, you'll say, they're kind of special people because they're willing to say, I'll do it. Now, some of you have been able to do that in the past, and maybe you're unable to do it now because of physical limitations. But for 2018, I want you to pray for these people. And I want us to have a special prayer of dedication. Now, after we pray, I want them to remain standing here because we're going to honor someone special today that did much of what they have done and are going to do in this coming year. So I want us to go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessing on these folks today. And then we're going to move ahead. So let's pray together. Now, our Father, I want to thank you that you have brought this year to pass. Lord, 2017 had some good things in it. But Lord, I believe several months ago you began to put things in my soul that we could do this year and make the ministry at Corinth Baptist Church even more successful than it has been in years gone by. Lord, the people that stand behind me right now are some of the finest people that I've ever met. Lord, they have committed themselves to be in the work of God. And I want to thank you, Lord, that you have gifted each of these with certain abilities. They have, some of them, the ability to teach. Some of them have the ability to just encourage. Some of them have the ability and the gifts of maybe administration. Lord, whatever gifts and abilities you've given to them, I pray, Father, that they would be able to use those to the 100% of their ability this year. And I pray, Lord, that as a result of these folks and their commitment, of them literally being living sacrifices, walking across this altar this morning, I pray that this year we would see all types of great things happen in the Lord's work. I pray, Lord, that you would help them to be able to reach people for the cause of Christ. And I pray that when the next 12 months are over, if you have not come, I pray that we would be able to say that because of the workers at Corinth Baptist Church, because of the dedication and the commitment that they have made, that we've made a difference in the kingdom of heaven. So, Father, I pray today that you will bless those and this commitment that they publicly make before this congregation, before our guest, and before you, our Lord God Almighty. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want you guys to stay here. We've got a special guest today. He's right here. All right, he's already out here. This is Brother Tom Lefwich. Some of you don't know Brother Tommy because... Okay, all righty. Some of you don't realize this because he has not been able to be here for several years now regularly. This man right here was the chairman of our ushers for over 20 years. 20 years. Not a preacher, not a deacon, not a trustee, just a faithful, faithful Christian that took what God gave him and was able to serve God in a capacity. And I never think about Tom Lefwich until I think about the Psalms when it says, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. That's what David said. And this man is being honored today. I wanted you to be able to meet him. I wanted you to be able to see somebody that helped pave the way for what you're doing today. And we have a little plaque here. It says, Certificate of Appreciation awarded to Tom Lefwich for over 20 years of faithful service as the chairman of the ushers this 7th day of January, 2018, by the Corinth Baptist Church, and then I've signed it. And I tell you what I want you to do is I want you to give a standing ovation to this man that loves God and loves this church. I can't tell you the number of times when I have visited with him and he would say, Brother Tommy, I pray for you every day. I'm going to tell you something. That means a lot. With some of the things that have been going on just in the last week, which I'll mention in a little bit, I need that. And this is one of my prayer warriors. And I want you to know that to me, he's tops. I want his family to stand. I know Greg's somewhere, and I know Corey's here. Corey, why don't you guys stand, your family? If you're part of Tom's family, I want you to stand. All righty. This is the patriarch that I got my hand on right here, all right? And amen. And Greg is back here. He's the tall one in the back. And let me just say this. They've got a brother named Glenn that's in heaven. Had his funeral a few years ago. But old Glenn, he's up there waiting. And one of these days, Brother Tom will be there to see. And those that know the Lord will be there to see. And so I want you guys to give this man a standing ovation right now. Tom, I love you, brother.
Thank you.
Amen. Would you like to say something? Okay. He never really wanted to say anything public, and I just asked him, would you like to say something? He goes, no. I made a mistake one Sunday at the old location. I was taking the offering, and I said, the guys around, you know how I had Gary pray this morning? Well, I said, Tom, I want you to pray, and he froze like deer in a headlight. And he goes, yeah. And then I realized, all right, you know what? He don't want to say something publicly, which is like the number one fear that there is. And so anyway, I want you to know I appreciate you being here today. Greg, Corey, your family, guys, thank you for coming and being here today to honor your dad, okay?
Glenn's wife is here.
Okay. Glenn's wife is here. Where are you at? Raise your hand. Amen. Thank you so much for being here. I love your husband. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you, Tom.
Thank you, sir.
Amen. Amen. All right, you guys can go sit down, and we'll help wheel Tom back out there. Okay. Melissa, why don't you do this? Why don't you give that to Corey? That way Tom don't have to hold it, and then Greg can take him back out. Amen. Thank you, Ms. Needle. All right, I'm going to give everybody a minute or so to get back to their seats. And we have put together a presentation of some pictures that we want to let you see from 2017. They're only about 2 seconds apiece. And we couldn't get everything in there because we'd be here till tonight. And so we've got some pictures. We've already begun taking pictures for this coming year so that a year from now we'll be able to show you what happened during 18. Well, these are some things that have happened in 17. And so I want you to enjoy this.
Spend my point.
Wait, Caleb, you?
That is a point.
For you today, and there's this one thing that I want to say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all you've given to me, for all the blessings that I cannot see. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, heart, with a song of praise, with an outstretched arm, I bless your name and thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you. Done in my life, you took my darkness and gave me your light. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
A lot of stuff, wasn't there? A lot of things took place. I want to thank God for what he's doing at our church. Often whenever I'm preaching at other places, I can't wait to get home because it's just better here. I talk to Brother Don several times a week, and whenever he goes places, he tells me, he said, Tommy, he said, I thank God for our church. He said, we've got a good church. And I said, I know we do, Brother Don. And I said, you're the one that really built probably the majority of the foundation of it. And I'm telling you, it is a special place, Corinth Baptist Church, and I hope that you'll realize that. Well, God let us do a lot of things in 2017. We got to upgrade our campus a little bit. We got a little painting done. We got some ceiling tiles swapped out. We got the parking lots all resurfaced, and we changed lights in the gym, put new tile in parts of the downstairs, And I mean, we just kind of had a little facelift, and we're going to continue that a little bit next year. The Lord allowed us to finish the year with about 170 missionaries that we support every month. I think that is phenomenal. There's churches that are three and four and five times our size that don't even do a third of that. And I appreciate so much the heart of our people when it comes to giving. God allowed us to give to some extra projects. Our home missionary, Brother Johnny Daniels, we ended up giving Johnny $37,000 after that hurricane wiped out that ministry there in Puerto Rico. Give it a hand. That's fine. And that was in the space of about 5 weeks that we were able to raise $37,000. We were able to give Buddy Thigpen, missionary to Russia, deals with orphanages. We're able to give Buddy a good offering just back in December, and I appreciate that so much. God brought new families into the church this year. I praise the Lord for that. The Lord allowed us to add Brother Keith to our staff. What a blessing he has been with our music. Brother Darrell is doing a good job with the new position that he's got. It was kind of funny. Last Sunday we were on the platform and we were talking about the surgeries that we had coming up this past week. And he was wanting to know all the times. And I told him, I said, well, I'm going to take care of this one on this particular day. I said, I just need to do that. And he like, well, I was kind of hoping to take care of it. I said, Darrell, you can't take care of all of them. And he's meeting people, I guess, in a way that he's never met them before because he's always been, you know, getting ready for music for the choir and all of that, but he's taken to his new position well, and You know, we've had that Christmas program that we kind of closed out with toward the end of the video. Miss Kim and Amanda did an awesome job with that. That's probably the best kids program we've had in over 20 years. And it was just a good thing. And I'm telling you, let me just, in a sad way, I guess, a little bit, you know, we've had some things that have been kind of tragic. And through those tragedies and through those bad situations that have cropped up into some of our people's lives, others have rallied around them. And when they've rallied around them, it has been such a blessing to see those families bond. Just this past week, we had had a funeral. We had two surgeries. We had two people go to hospice. We had a heart attack. We had a dehydration. We had a baby in the NICU unit. Those types of things just in 1 week. And when those things happen, our people just begin to pray for one another and they begin to love one another. I was talking to Brother Tony just before Sunday school began, and I told him, I said, you know, I've been praying for you, Brother Tony. And he said, you know what? He said, everybody seems to be praying for me. And he said, you know that movie, It's a Good Life, or It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart? And he said, you know that angel that shows up? He said, I've been expecting him any day now. And I'm telling you, it's just, it's amazing what God has done for us. Even in trials and suffering times, God has just stepped in and given us a good spirit here at the church. And I'm looking forward to 2018. Quickly, let me get you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I know my time is about gone. The whole reason for beginning at 10:45 was to try to be out by noon. And that's still my goal. And so I want you to look with me quickly at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And let's look at verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself servant unto all. In other words, I don't have to do this. But because I love people, I'm willing to do things for them. Well, what is the thing that he's talking about? We'll get to that in a moment. He said, I've made myself servant unto all, and this is a key phrase, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, not being without the law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. There's that word gain again. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. The title of the message today is By All Means Gain Some. That is also the theme for our year. In 2018, I want us to have this thought. I want us to do everything that we can to gain some. Let that sink in for a moment. The Apostle Paul said, I am willing by all means to gain some. Let me give you three quick things. Number one, gaining some ought to compel us. Look back with me at verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. The Apostle Paul had two primary motivations for trying to win people to Christ. Number one, he said, woe unto me if I don't do it. In other words, there may be punishment coming because I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. He told the people in Romans chapter 1, he said, I am a debtor to to people. I want them to be saved. I need to tell people. But then there's a second motivation which is found, and we won't turn to it. I'll just tell you the verse. But it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. He said, "For the love of Christ compels me. It constrains me. It forces me." In other words, because God loved me so much and He saved me, I got to tell somebody. And so I want us to think about how that we ought to be compelled to share Christ with people that we come in contact with. It doesn't matter who you are here today. You meet people on a daily basis that I don't meet. You have a network that I do not have. You have a circle of influence. And you can influence them, whereas if I went and talked to them, they wouldn't care. But you have a circle of influence. And we ought to be compelled to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you a second thing quickly. Gaining some is crucial. Now, I don't think I need to say this unless maybe one of our guests doesn't really understand this. But there's only two places people go when they die. You go to heaven or you go to hell. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either born again or you're not. There's no middle ground. Someone said one time, "Well, I think that kind of, you know, going to heaven's kind of like going to the post office." You know, some people maybe come from the east down 78, and you know, and some people would come from the west down toward Athens and come back this way going west. Then other people may come over off of Lyon Street, over out of Loganville, and some people may come out of the parking lot over next to the Johnny's Pizza. But I mean, after all, everybody's going to get to the same place. The problem with that, when you die, you're not going to the post office. The Bible says that there's two places. You got heaven and you got hell. So it's crucial that we tell people. When I think about the people that I will meet this year, I can't help but think they're going to spend eternity somewhere. I know tomorrow night there's going to be a huge football game, all right? And many of you are probably going to watch that football game. I have no idea how many people that stadium will hold, but I was told that the boxes, the suites, $200,000 a piece. And that doesn't include food. I'm thinking 4 hours in a suite, $50,000 an hour. It's like, that's a lot of money. And evidently, that's not even to get in the suite. Somebody said that to get into the suite, it's another $2,500 a head. Evidently, this is an important football game. And you know what? In the grand scheme of things, 3 years from now, it won't matter if Georgia won or if Alabama won. But I'm going to tell you something. If there's 90,000 people at that stadium in 50, 100 years, if Jesus doesn't come, every one of those people are going to be in eternity somewhere, and they'll be in one or two places, and they won't be thinking about that the dogs roll the tide. All right? They won't be thinking about that. It'll be heaven or it'll be hell. It is crucial this year that we tell people about the Lord. Not only is it crucial, but it's conceivable. Look with me at verse 22. He said, "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." I want you to focus on that word "some." Do you know that you and I cannot win all, everybody? We can't win them all. Would I like to win them all? Oh, yeah, yeah. And I believe that if they would come, that Jesus would save them all. I really believe that. But you and I cannot personally go talk to 7 billion people. Can't do it. But I tell you what it does say. It says that we can gain some. And do you know what we ought to do? Those some, we ought to go after them. We ought to do our dead level best as a church to go after some. You say, well, preacher, what are we planning on doing this coming year? Well, back in December, the staff went up to Blairsville, and we spent the day together. We were planning many of the things that are going to be taking place this year, not all, but probably the majority of the big things. And we began to talk about what we would like to see happen this coming year. And this is some things that we would like to see happen. First of all, we would like to add 25 new families to the church family. Is that feasible? Absolutely. Matter of fact, it's probably really low. I challenged the staff. I said, just think about this. If me and my wife got two, Daryl and Martha got two, Chad and Sarah got two, and Keith and Kim got two, I said, isn't that 8 families right there? I said, that's just if the staff gets two. And I said, then suppose that the 16 deacons that we've got right now, suppose they just got one. Then you know what we've got? That's 24 families, and that's without a layperson doing a single thing. And you know what? Everybody has got somebody that they can reach. And so I want us to see the Lord bless this year numerically. You say, now why are you talking about numbers? Do you know that when they caught those fish over in John chapter 21, do you know that they told us how many fish was there? They caught 153. Now, you know, whenever I go fishing, I like to count the fish, too. I like to find out how many of those white perch I've caught. Never cared about counting catfish that much, but I like knowing the bass. A few years ago, we went down to Savannah, some of the men in the church, and fished a half a day. You know what? Our boat caught 16 that we kept. I like counting fish. The Lord added 3,000. They counted them. Later they added 5,000. They counted them. And so I want us to say, when God gives us the opportunity, we want to add. We want them to be saved, then we want them to be baptized. We want them to come by letter. We want them to come by statement. Any way that we take members, we want them to come. But above all, we want people to be saved. That's number one. There are some financial goals that I want us to achieve this year. I'd like to see our general fund get up to about $300,000. I'd like to see our mission fund get up to about $100,000. This coming Christmas, you know what I'd like to see? Some of these ministries like Connie Anderson down in Haiti, and she has a bunch of children down in Haiti. I'd like for us to be able to say to Brother Finley, who is the Caribbean director for Macedonia, Dave, here's some money for Miss Connie. Take it down there and let them kids have Christmas this year. I'd like for us to do that. You say, why are you worried about some kids down in some Caribbean, you know, country? Because the Bible tells us in James chapter 1 that pure religion is to visit the widows and the orphans. That's what James chapter 1 tells us. And so I want us to have things like that. I want us to see us begin to do some more upgrades here. I don't know if you've been in the gym, but we got a real lit up gym now. You go down there now, and it's like, wow. And one of the bad things for Brother Ricky is this. We got all those lights put in there, and his wife said, you got to do some painting. And so we've got some neat things that are coming up. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. If we'll pull together, God can have people saved this year through us. Can I tell you one of the greatest thrills in my life has been able to lead a person to Christ? On numerous occasions, God has given me the opportunity to share my faith with people and to share Christ with people, and they have been able to trust the Lord. I can think of probably the first person that I really remember the name leading them to Christ. It's a lady named Miss Kirby. Miss Kirby was in a nursing home in Savannah, Georgia. And I had gone to this nursing home with a friend of mine. And while he was visiting a church member, I was just talking to different people, and I came across Miss Kirby, who was probably in her mid-80s. And I had a chance, while he was talking to a church member, I had a chance to lead that sweet elderly lady to Christ. I don't know why I remember her name, but I do. There's two ladies that are written in the front of a little New Testament that I bought on July the 28th, 1978. You say, how do you remember the date? It's the day I got married. All right? I better remember that date. My wife and I had gotten married. We had left the church, and we were driving to Florida. We'd opened up enough envelopes, and there was enough cash that we could go to Florida. Our intentions were, if we didn't get any money, we were just going back to Covington Highway and set up shop. But we were going to Florida. We stopped at a Days Inn to spend the night, and they had a Tasty Freeze that was there. And I had a chance to lead two waitresses to the Lord. July the 28th, 1978. Those ladies' names are in the front of that little Bible that we still have to this day. God has given me the opportunity on different occasions, and I'm telling you, there is no thrill like helping to birth somebody into the kingdom of God. Now, I've never physically helped anybody. No human. I helped a cat one time, but that's a different story. Let's see people get saved this year. Probably one of the most, I guess, probably the greatest soul winner that we may have in this church is probably Brother James Disbay. Wherever he goes, he shares his faith. Booty Mitchell is another one. Booty shares his faith. I want to have all of us share our faith in Christ. When God prompts you, realize, man, I'm telling you, it is crucial. But it's conceivable that these people can get saved. I mean, how many of you believe that God's in the saving business? He saved you. Well, why wouldn't he save somebody else? Let's share our faith this year, and by all means, let's save some. I heard this story years ago, and I've never forgotten it. A hurricane had come through a coastal area, and there was a man walking on the beach, and it just seemed as though that debris, foam, driftwood was everywhere on this beach. But there were hundreds and hundreds of starfish that were just laying out all over the beach. All over this beach, just starfish everywhere. And he was walking, he noticed there was a guy in front of him, and the guy was bending down, picking him up, and sailing him back out into the water. He thought, man, that's ridiculous. I mean, that guy's crazy. Look at all this. So he walks up to the guy, and he said, what are you doing? He said, I'm throwing these starfish back. And he said, man, there are hundreds of them. He said, you're never going to get all of these starfish back in the ocean. And he goes, man, I don't even know why you're trying that for. What does it matter? There's so many of them. And about that time, he sailed one of them back out there. He said, it mattered to that one. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You come in contact with people every day. Wouldn't it be a blessing if you were the one that helped birth them into the kingdom of God? The other day we had a lady that was visiting. She's been friends with my wife for many years. Her husband and I are friends. He used to play softball for another church. They would come over at the old location and we would play ball together. Probably one of the best third basemen that ever played on our fields. And this lady and my wife have been friends for a long time. She was a neighbor, and my wife just got to witnessing to her a little bit. And she ended up getting saved. And now for probably 20 years, close to 20 years, she has stayed in contact with Deb. And she always talks about, whenever you get a chance to listen to her salvation experience, talk about how that walking with Deb was the one that made it happen. To this day, she loves my wife. Why? Because she helped birth her in the kingdom of heaven. My wife made a difference in that one. Whose life are you making a difference in? Let's stand together. Let's do something special this year, church. Let's do something special. I'd like to see us have such an increase that we'd have to go to two services immediately. I wouldn't mind having three. You say, would you preach all of them? I'd try. I want you to help win some people to Christ this year. You may have been saved 15, 20 years, and you've never had a chance to witness to somebody because you've been scared. Do you know that you don't have to be scared? All you got to do is tell your story. If you've ever met Christ, just tell them how you met the Lord. You don't have to know 47 Bible verses. All you need to know is that you're saved and how you got saved, and you can tell somebody how to get saved. Now, Father, I want to thank you for the Apostle Paul. And I want to thank you for the fact that to Jewish people, he was willing to become as a Jew. To Gentiles, he was willing to act like a Gentile as far as eating with them and things like that. And then, Lord, for those that maybe were a little sensitive, those weak people that were lost, he was willing to do things that would not offend them just so that he could get a hearing to try to save some of them. And so, Father, I pray today that you would help us to be a soul-winning church. In 2018, help this to be a hospital where people are birthed. And I pray that you would add to our numbers. But, Lord, I pray that you would help us to be on the lookout. As we leave today, may we get some of the invitation cards that are in the little holders at the door. And this week, when we're pumping gas or going through a drive-through or going to a grocery store, wherever we're going, help us to be able to give those out and invite people to come to church so that they can hear about Christ, or Lord, we just tell them about Christ ourselves. I pray that our people would be soul conscious, and I pray that we would by all means save some. Now, as our heads are bowed, as the musicians begin to play, if you're here today and maybe you don't know Christ, we've got people that can lead you very, very simply to meet that Savior today. Or if you're here, you need to pray. I want you to come. If you're here and